everybody. Welcome to The Buzz, your entertainment podcast with Scott Tatey and Megan Miller. Time to talk some music, other kinds of entertainment events coming our way. We're pretty excited about Friday, the debut of the Mindhunter TV show on Netflix, filmed in Ambridge in the Pittsburgh area. What do you think?
Yeah, I feel like we've known about this for so long. It seems kind of like nobody's really talking about it now, but I feel like the buzz is building again. You know, when was it? Last year? I guess last August, 2016. Jonathan Groff, David Fincher, a bunch of people were in Ambridge and in Pittsburgh filming the show, and now we finally can binge on it on Friday.
That's right. I'm starting to see some interviews in magazines, people hyping it up, Jonathan Groff talking about it, and Charlize Theron, executive producer, she played a big role. She actually bought the rights from the book this is based on. And it's based on these guys who worked for the FBI in the 70s that they kind of coined the term serial killers. And then what they did is they went into prisons where these people are serving life sentences or on death row, you know, mass murderers, serial killers, and they interviewed them to try to get into their minds and figure out why they did what they did, to see what they could learn to prevent similar crimes from happening. So everything I've read is very dark, very serious, heavy, dark, but people like that kind of stuff, so I'm real interested. David Fincher has a great track record, so Fight Club and everything, so we'll see.
Yeah, in your column, you kind of delved into, you know, the backstory and even talked to somebody who was an extra, and that was an interesting to see. I mean, you always hear these stories about like, oh, you know, I was on set for 12 hours for, you know, a three-minute scene or whatever, but so that gave some perspective as well, and that's up online at timesonline.com/entertainment.
She was in a makeup chair for 6 hours to play a dead body, basically.
That's impressive. Yeah. I've
seen the pictures though. She showed me on her phone, and she looks dead.
Well, they did their job then. So yeah, so that'll start now. How many episodes is it?
I have not looked that up. I believe they've done two seasons. I mean, they're only going to show one, but if they haven't completed the second, they're close to it. So it's already up for a second.
Oh, wow.
All systems go.
Cool. So you can start binging on that starting Friday.
Yeah. And it's a time of year, October, people start thinking more Halloween horror. This is, you know, based on some real life horror, but I have a feeling it's going to do very well. People seem to be ready for something like this.
I wonder if it's bingeable.
That's a good question.
Because usually, like, when you're binging, like, TV shows, it's like Scandal, and I know that's a little dark, or How to Get Away with Murder. And I, of course, binged Fuller House a couple weeks ago. But that's a little lighter.
It's scary in a whole other way.
Yeah, right? But so I'm curious, like, if people are going to be able to, like, watch the entire season in, you know, a day or a weekend, or if it's going to be more of the traditional, like, watch an episode or two, come back, or whatever.
So I actually put that question to the owner of the Bridgetown Tap House restaurant in Ambridge, which appears in a couple episodes, and you know, you guys going to have a viewing party. And he had wondered the same thing. Well, is this a show that people are going to want to binge several episodes? So, yeah, I think maybe some people will, but I'm guessing most. Maybe watch one or two and call it a night and start the next day.
Start the next day and watch until you terrify yourself.
Exactly.
So, and then on Thursday, Tim and Faith are heading to PPG Paints Arena.
And I put this into what you just said about a show we knew about many, many months ago, and I'm not really hearing a ton of buzz yet. You think that's going to accentuate, or are you hearing people talking?
I really haven't. I heard on the radio on the drive-in today that they, because it's this week, and they, you know, mentioned it or whatever, but that's really the first, because I don't even, did they announce that earlier this year or last year?
It had to be, if it was this year, very early. I'm thinking like January,
yeah,
or so.
Yeah, like we've known about it for so long, and now that it's here, I mean, I've always wanted to see Tim and Faith together. When I saw him at First Niagara Pavilion a couple years ago, I was really hoping she would appear on stage, because I really want to see them together. So I think there's still a market for it. You know, they just announced on Friday the new song and the new album, you know, coming out in November, I believe. So I'm assuming people will hear a lot of that. The one thing that I'm curious about is how it's going to be set up. A couple years ago, Trisha Yearwood and Garth Brooks were on tour together, and I really liked how they did that. He was the headliner, she was the opener. He started, he did a set, and then he left the stage, she came out, did her set, and then he came back out. And I really liked that, because it broke up, because they have two different styles of music, and it kind of broke it up a little bit. And I'm wondering if that's how it's going to go, if it's going to be Tim, Faith, Tim, Faith, Tim, and then them together, like...
We need some costume changes, so she better get off the stage a few times and come back out.
Yeah, I'm curious what she's going to wear.
Too.
So, yeah, not so much him. I mean, that's...
cowboy hat jeans. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think she's the draw because Tim has played Keyback Pavilion, First Niagara Pavilion, whatever you want to call it, a bunch of times in recent years. So I think people got their fill of Tim, but it's been a while since Faith was on stage.
It's been a really long time.
Yeah,
so yeah, I'm intrigued to see how that's all going to go and how much they're going to appear on stage together and then separately.
It'll be interesting.
Yeah, it's a cool thing. So hopefully, you know, we'll hear about that later. And then on Sunday, there's going to be a chocolate bar at the Benenum.
What's a chocolate bar? I'm in, but I don't even know what it is.
It's a masquerade soiree, Love Never Dies. And it's their, I believe it's an annual event. They've held it before, and it's just like sampling all different kinds of chocolate.
I'm in.
I know, right? It's like, did I really need to explain what a chocolate bar was?
But this masquerade soiree, do I got to wear a mask then?
That I don't know. I'm sure there's more information when you buy tickets. But yeah, it's just seems like a cool event. Because usually when you're going to the Benenum, you're going to the theater or, you know, a show or a concert. And here you're going to eat chocolate.
I bet they have chocolate martinis.
I was just going to say that. I'm assuming it's like the other festivals we have in Pittsburgh where it's not just food. Like there were the Picklesburg, there were pickled cocktails. I'm sure there's chocolate in all different kinds of forms.
You got to try to crash this party.
Right? So that's genius, though. Have an event dedicated to tasting chocolate.
Well, I see the tickets are $35, but for the VIP experience, it gets up to $85. So for that extra $50, I don't know what they're doing.
I don't know what that experience is, but I'm very intrigued.
Something like Willy Wonka-ish, I hope.
I would hope so. Yes. So, and we will be right back.
Get ready, get set, get out this weekend. Watch every Wednesday as I, Scott Tatey, give you the scoop on local entertainment and help you plan how to get out this weekend. Sponsored by Lincoln Park Performing Arts Center. A new episode premieres every Wednesday at timesonline.com/getout or watch them on our Beaver County Times Roku channel. Don't miss it.
And we are back on the buzz. Scott Tatey and Megan Miller ready to talk some more entertainment. And you saw some interesting shows last week.
The Pixies, back in town, outdoor show, stage AE. Just a very intense band. One of the pioneers of alternative rock, really, and I thought they brought it. It was a good show. I know you would have liked this because you always get mad when there's a lot of banter and they're saying, how about those Penguins or Steelers?
Or Permantes.
Permantes, and can't pronounce it. None of that whatsoever. Singer Black Francis they just rocked out to very little talking to the crowd. To be honest, I like a little bit of a connection, so I would have taken a little bit of that. But as far as the music, sounded fabulous. But I liked it. It wasn't a sold-out show. And I think Stage AE outdoors, when it's not sold out, good crowd, but not sold out, it's the best. I mean, there's room you can actually move, but yet you're still a sense of some excitement. The sound is really crisp out there. So that was my kind of show. So I'm glad I got to see the Pixies again. They'll be back in a couple of years. But just the fact they've been going strong since the late 80s with three original members. So give them credit for that.
Now, here's a question. You said you like a little banter. What would you rather have, no banter or the banter where they're coming out in Pens jerseys and waving terrible towels? Those are your options. Which one would you pick?
I'd go the no banter extreme, especially for a band like the Pixies. They kind of have a bit of a quirkiness about them, like a dark edge kind of quirkiness. It would be phony if they started talking about how wonderful it was to play next to Heinz Field.
Yeah.
So I would say no.
The banter I like is when they're saying – like Ed Sheeran, when he was in town, he was talking about, you know, this is my most favorite song I've ever written. I really hope I didn't peak at 26. Like that type of banter, but none of this, you know, let's go Pens.
Yeah, Bob Seger said before he did We Got Tonight, he said, this is my mom's favorite song I ever wrote. And that was interesting. That makes me, now every time I hear that song, and I think, really?
Seger,
like, that's
yeah.
Interesting pick. But I feel a little, I know Bob a little better now.
Yeah, so I don't mind that kind of banter, but the yinzer and the terrible towel and stuff, I could live without.
Where do you stand when they talk about venues? A lot of bands mention the late, somewhat great Club Laga, or they talk
I
about...
I don't know if I would call that the great yeah. Club Laga, but I would might yeah. call it a hazard, but I like when they throw things out that connects them with the city, but when they're authentic and sincere, like it's one thing, like, oh, you know, some of them just yell out Permanis, I think, just to get a, you know, to get a cheer or whatever, but, you know, there are some where, you know, Chris Carrabba of Dashboard Confessional, he'll say, oh, you know, I rode the incline or, you know, something like that. That makes it a little more.
Yeah.
But
the Decemberists talk about the coffee shop they played in, like, the Friendship section of Pittsburgh, and they talk about, they named the lady whose couch they slept on, and to me that always is a neat connection that they're proving they do remember the early days of Pittsburgh. But yeah, I'm with you on the Go Pens!
Yeah, and I like that we mentioned Ed Sheeran. He posted a video when he was in town last week. He went to the History Center. Aww. He called it the Heinz Museum because he has a thing for Heinz ketchup. But I like that it was not... I mean, that's a great attraction in Pittsburgh, but that's not one. Usually the Warhol is the one that's thrown out. So I like that it was kind of off the beaten path a little bit as far as tourism goes.
Go ahead.
So, right? And then another band that I feel like we're going to hear a lot more about in the coming months and years. You saw at Mr. Smalls.
Greta Van Fleet's the name of the band, and all these comparisons are coming out for the singer. They say he sounds like Robert Plant of Led Zeppelin.
Well, that's interesting.
I was skeptical, so I got on YouTube, listened to three songs. I was like, oh my gosh, this guy does sound like Robert Plant. So I went to see him at Mr. Smalls' fun house. The upstairs holds about 250, and they had about 240 in there, I'd say. And tell you what, dude can sing. 20 years old. 20-year-old. Has that rock star it factor, I thought. Didn't have a lot of room to move around, but yeah, he had a great voice. He kind of reminded me of Roger Daltrey, The Who, too, the way he looked and commanded the microphone. And their guitarist, one of his brother actually was playing the guitar behind his head for an entire song just about. And they did have that bluesy rock kind of swagger for a bunch of young guys. Yeah, Greta Van Fleet, put that band on your list right now. They are going to be something, I think. Next time we see them, it's going to be probably a venue 10 times bigger than the one they just did. I could see them indoor stage AE headlining maybe in a year or so.
Yeah, maybe next fall or even maybe in the winter. Maybe yeah. It'll be that quick. And then switching gears a little bit to TV, This Is Us premiered the Pittsburgh set drama on NBC. 2 episodes in now. What are your thoughts?
They've been worth watching. I'm glad I'm watching them. I'm not getting the same wow factor I did in the first 4 or so episodes when it debuted. I'm some of the characters I'm really liking. Toby is one of the characters, a fiance, I guess, for one of the main characters. I don't know. I like some of it, but I'm not coming away the next day at work. I want to stop people and say, oh my goodness, did you see that episode? What'd you think? Not that factor anymore.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I just want one episode where nobody is singing. That is all I really want.
But Mandy Moore's in the cast.
You know what? She was hired as an actress. Like, let's let her act. That's the thing that, you know, first all season, the first season it was her. Well, now it's the daughter and her. Yes. And it's just enough. Like, I don't know. Like, that just seems a little like, okay, we have 2 people on here who can sing, so let's have them sing every 10 minutes. Like,
I think the writers are having a hard time with that. They want to convey that there's a bit of a, is she a stage mom, that the daughter, or did the daughter grow up jealous that the mom was supposedly prettier and thinner or whatever? But they're trying to have their cake and eat it too. Sometimes they're making it seem like the mom was insensitive, and sometimes it doesn't seem that way. And maybe that's a point, there's gray area. But when I'm watching, I'm confused. Well, who should I be rooting for? I don't know. I think like they keep flipping and flopping.
Yeah, I think they need to commit to one and make it clear without beating us over the head with it.
Yes.
Because right now it's kind of like, well, it seems like the daughter is internalizing all of this stuff, but then the mom does say a couple of things that makes it like that she corrected her pitch or something on the one episode. So it just, I feel like they have a really good relatable storyline. It's just they don't know which way to go with it, or they're not they're kind of blown in the wind a little bit because they're not committing to it one way or the other.
Did you notice there hasn't been as much Go Pittsburgh in this? I remember in the first season he's wearing a terrible towel and nothing else at one point, and there's all these references to Pittsburgh, this and that, and 2 episodes in, I haven't caught any of that.
Well, the season premiere, Mandy Moore was in a Steeler jersey.
Oh, was she? I missed that.
Yeah, she was driving, so you could barely see it, but you could see the sleeves, and I may have rolled my eyes when I saw that. But yeah, so...
Great, the last episode they were in Hollywood, but still.
Yeah.
That was one of the reasons we were first interested in the show. We wanted to see a set in Pittsburgh TV show.
Like, why is the main character wearing a terrible towel? Like, I mean, yes, wearing is an accurate description, so... Yeah, I still like it. I still think it's a pretty good drama, but it's missing that sparkle, I think, a little from the first season.
Yes.
Or from the beginning of the first season.
So, I agree.
So. And are you ready for this week's Love It or Loathe It?
Actually, no. I haven't thought of anything. I'm just going to have to wing this. What are you loving or loathing?
I'm going to let you go first.
Oh, you're killing me here.
Well, I have something that it's not really a love or a loathe, but it's a strong like.
Okay.
Or my opinion of it has improved from week 1 to week 2. Can that be a gray area for love or loathe?
Now I'm all ears.
Yeah. You going to allow that?
Sure.
Since you're the one who came up with committing to something on audio to love or loathe each week. I caught up on the second episode of Will and Grace.
Okay.
And I remember last week we were talking about it, and I was very on the fence, very like, meh, how is this going to go? And we were kind of, even leading into the season premiere, we were kind of like that. The second episode, they redirected the ship a little bit, and it was much, I'm not going to go as far and say I loved it, but it was more the vintage Will and Grace that we all like liked the first time around.
Okay.
So I think I'm going to...
So should I watch it?
I would. I would try it. I'm still not sold, but the first week I watched it and I'm like, oh, what have they done? And then I'm like, well, I have to give it another try because maybe they just needed to get all the politics out of their system. It was a very politically driven show as far as not even like talking about their politics, but it was just... half of the episode was staged at the White House, so it was just kind of, you know, but this one was back more to, you know, they were in New York. It was just the typical, like, shenanigans of, you know, Will and Grace and Karen and then Jack and Will. So, yeah, I'll tune in again. This one hooked me for the next episode. I don't know if I'm hooked for the whole season. I'm sorry. I keep cutting you off.
No, I'll give it a shot. I don't know. Last night I was really disappointed in the Anthony Bourdain show, the CNN. And I'm excited because in just a week or two we're going to see the episode where he's in Pittsburgh, Anthony Bourdain, the famed chef and crusty travel kind of guy. I can't wait to see his interpretation of Pittsburgh. But I've watched 2.5 episodes of this season. He was in France last night and just very disappointed, very self-indulgent. The whole point of him and his friend were skiing and eating wine and cheese while they're skiing. And they did a whole contest of who could milk a cow better. And I kind of felt sorry for the cow. It seemed exploitive. And a couple episodes he's done before that, one was in Vietnam and Laos, I believe it was. And I found myself not watching the whole episode. I was always a fan of his. And so far, not liking. He's kind of crossed over, and it's become, you know, he's going to be kind of grungy or grumpy, whatever. But it's not as entertaining as it used to be. So I'm holding out hope. But so far, I'm loathing what I've seen of this season.
Well, so he went from France to Vietnam to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, how about that?
How does one book that trip? Yeah.
He's making a point that they're going to play up the whole angle of Pittsburgh, revitalization, rebirth, old mill town, but. He avoids cliches, so he's going to kind of investigate the point, well, is gentrification a good thing? Are we losing the character and soul of the city if all these hipsters are coming in and opening new restaurants?
Oh, that's interesting.
I read an interview with how this is going to be presented, so I'm hoping I'm going to love this episode. I hope the Pittsburgh one is the one that gets this season turned around, but so far I've been disappointed.
So he won't be going to Permanente's?
If he does, he'll find a way to poke fun at the people who can't pronounce it, or the folks who... still think it's hip. He'll have a good angle.
I'm wondering, there's a new pierogi bar that just opened downtown. I'm wondering if he would go there. I guess probably not because it probably wasn't open when he filmed. But
so there's a chocolate bar and a pierogi bar now.
Yes, it's the pierogi bar. And you can like literally get anything you could ever think of. Like they have like a buffalo chicken pierogi and a macaroni and cheese. Like it's crazy. Like anything you could possibly think of on a pierogi.
Road trip.
So, yeah. So I guess that'll, now that I'm hungry, I guess that'll do it for this week. Thank you for joining us. As always, you can follow along on this podcast at timesonline.com/podcasts or on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher Radio by searching the Beaver County Times.
Thank you, as always, for listening. Give us any feedback on entertainment, what you'd like to hear us talk about, right?
Yeah. And where can they follow us on Twitter?
I'm right at my name. So you go Twitter, you go at Scott Tatey. Darn if you don't find me.
Right.
Tweeting the latest breaking entertainment news I get. It's the first thing I do. I drop everything and I tweet it. How about you? Where can they find you?
They can find me at Meg Writes, MeggWrites.
I like that new name.
Thank you. It took some creativity to come up with something that people could find me. So I guess that'll do it. Thank you for joining us.